Okay, we're rolling. We're back in business. And, oh, we don't have the treasurer. Here I've been. She's coming. Okay. So just to remind you where everybody, where we are, we have the treasurer's report, the PNB report. There's going to be no CAB report, even though we have it on the agenda. Carol Wolfley called and said she has nothing to report, and I guess we have no KFCF report. So then we have old business, new business. And Barbara, do you want these passed out? Yes. You've got your copy. Okay. And are these two different things? Okay. We're going to start passing these out.
Relax. I can try. I've got to stand up first. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll take one. Pass this that way. David?
Yes. Right.
It is. It got very cold.
I guess it's better than the person who came running to
us. Yes.
Don't tell it.
I'm just answering you. You want to hear me yelling? I'll yell at you if you want me to yell at you. That was just answering your question.
How do you know which one you got? One of those? Okay. There you go.
One single sheet and one multi-page sheet item. Yeah.
And that's all we're getting.
Yeah.
We'll do the hokey spooky.
That's all there is.
Oh, I'm passing this on.
I encouraged her to sing. I'm kind of regretting it sometimes.
Keep those all together and take them.
She's getting a little carried away with the singing. No, it's it's fine. I think we need a little singing break. All right, let's look at the single sheet first. Now, this was as of Thursday. So Friday's activity is not reflected here. So this is an interim report. But in fact, of the current fund drive that ended on Friday. And the figures that are here, the total pledged figures, the first up in the left-hand column there, the top, exclude the money that was raised for Los Angeles. It never goes into our bookkeeping system. So although, you remember in the phone room there's a total up on the board, somebody's keeping track of that total in the office across the hall as well. So that total is just kind of a guideline to see if we've gotten near our goal. And however, it does that total would include the money we expected to raise on behalf of Southern California. So this report does not include that, as I just said, because once they get those pledges that are designated for the Los Angeles area, they're sent off to them, and it's not reflected in this bookkeeping. Now, the money that's raised for Fresno is, because it's handled differently. We take the pledges for Fresno, And then as the pledges are paid for Fresno, every month our business office makes a total and sends a check to Fresno. So this is all about pledges, okay? So these figures include ours, Northern California, and Fresno. And traditionally or historically, the amount of money that goes to Fresno is approximately usually about 6% of what's here. So in that first line, I have a special little note from the business manager and the data manager. If you look in kind of in the middle there, the average pledge, it's $132.03. They've told me that that's the same average as our last pledge drive, and it was $12 more than last year at this time. So it's just a little benchmark, see how we're doing. Now let's go to the first column, the total pledged column. Just to remind everybody, the term acquisitions means brand new pledges, people who haven't contributed before. And then we have our wonderful categories of renewals and rejoins. I never know exactly what that is. I think it's if you rejoin, there's been a break. If you just renew, you're just going on. And of course, the largest category of donations or pledges, and donations too, the way it works out for when the money comes in, is always people who already belong and give additional gifts. As you go down the column there, there are on-air pledges and website compared. You can see the amount that the differences there. Then the next category is the payments that are made initially, all together right away. And then there are installment plans or people who sign up for electronic funds transfer. That's something that then comes out of their bank account every month. The next category is the credit cards and non-cards. I guess that would be the people saying, send me a bill and I'll send you a check or whatever. Then the difference between people, the pledges made where premiums were requested and for no premiums. The next section as you go down that column is the gift size, and you'll see that the most common category is from $100 to $250. So that's where this average pledge falls up here, the one back up at the top that I told you about, $132. The fulfillment rate is rather low at this point because we've just finished the fund drive. And as the records are collected when the money comes in, either by the credit cards that get processed or people sending in their checks, fulfillment rate will go up. And as you may all remember, our station has a pretty good fulfillment rate, about 89 or 90% of the money that's pledged does finally reach our bank account. The other document, and my friend Joy would call this ant font. And I don't have my magnifying glass out here. But anyway, this is the kind of document that a lot of people like to pore over because it compares the various shows or programs and the kind of pledging that was done by each of these during each of these events, these programs. Now, some of them are your regular programs, but there are also listings here for specific documentaries that were played over and over again, and to see how much those items raised. I don't have anything more specific to tell you about that. If people want to comment on any of these figures, I guess we can take comments. If we have questions, I can certainly convey them to our business manager, and really the data manager is the one who creates these reports. Yes, Craig. Well, I wonder myself exactly. It's not really. It looks like it starts in the morning. Average per hour descending order. Okay.
Except for democracy now.
No, it's not. It's amount, right, third column from the right margin. Amount per hour.
Third column, average per hour. Okay. Yes, I see. There we go. Did everybody get that? Third column from the right. So it's a ranking. Programs with no pledges. All right. Yes. Jose Luis.
So Beanie Circle had a total pledge.
Is the uprising amount all Bay Area, or is that also Los Angeles contributions?
I don't know about that. For okay, good. I know they never go into our books, but I didn't know whether that would go into this count by the program, so that's good to know. Yes, Andrea.
I'm looking down at second to the last, Bay Native Circle.
Uh-huh.
It says the pledge, maybe I'm reading this wrong, the pledge amount, so that's total amount of money was $584.
Yep.
And then it says amount per hour, $584.
So well, they were only on one time during the fund drive.
How was that?
Oh,
of course. My bad.
Okay. So that 60 Minutes was one of their shows, and they raised 584, so that's the same average per hour.
You get preempted twice, right? 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
This was a shorter fund drive, you know, than many. Was it 12, Brian? Was it 12 days? 11 and a half. Okay, Janet.
So I have a question about this, the fundraising, the fund drive, but other questions about other things, so I can hold off with those. But
okay, why don't you hold off?
But okay. So, I mean, what was the budgeted amount for this fund drive?
The goal was 343, I believe. $342,000 was the goal. And that included money, you know, for Southern California.
No?
Oh, you're right.
So just so everyone's clear, we've had this like really awkward situation where we're taking pledges for other stations through our pledge room. And in the past, because we can't sort all those cards in the
that
moment,
fast,
we've
yeah.
kept a tally of everything combined, and we've had to extrapolate and make assumptions about what percentage of our haul is pledges for Los Angeles that we won't keep, that we'll eventually hand off to them. This drive, because the call center is typing everything in as soon as they get it, Chris, who runs our database, was able to write a quick script in Python that would just kick the LA pledges out of our count immediately. so we could keep an accurate tally. I see. Our budgets have always said, here's what we need.
For everybody.
Here's the goal we need to set, which is higher than that, assuming more pledges will come in for LA and KFCF. And that's the goal we'll announce on air. This time we were able to set the goal at what?
I see.
At KPFA's portion and then track our progress towards that portion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else? Do you have your hand up, Paula, or are you just... Microphone.
So, in other words, there's still more coming in from LA that's our money, right?
No.
Oh, this is the final money that's coming into us.
There will still be some adjustments to these as the money comes in. Mm-hmm. This is mostly about pledges, and it does reflect some pledges that were paid immediately because they were credit card donations. Everything that was pledged for the Los Angeles area has been transmitted to them. They're going to follow up on their pledges, and they're going to receive the income that is associated with those pledges.
So the 342 does not include L. Does include LA?
No.
No, it doesn't.
According to what Brian
said. I guess I'm getting confused.
342 is what our goal was.
Okay.
And our count does not include any pledges. Oh. 342 is what our goal was without allowing for LA.
Right.
And this count does not include anything from LA.
Okay. So does that mean that
and
we're...
And KFCF. What? No.
Does that mean that we're 20,000 short of our goal? Or you're saying...
We beat our goal. This is from Thursday night before the fund drive ended. Our goal was $342,000.
Okay.
When we stopped asking for money at 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, we had raised $353,000, and we'll have more web pledges come in over the next week or
okay.
so.
Okay. Okay. So we went over. Great.
Right. Mal.
I have a question about 6 seconds.
Microphone.
Turn it on. Just go.
The question is about 6 cents. You have in the one-page handout on the very top line,
mm-hmm.
right in the middle, the pledge of $132.03. See that?
The heading just above it
pledge.
Is average pledge.
Fine, average pledge. Okay, and it's $132.03.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now... If I look at the three-page document,
mm-hmm.
and I turn to the third page, and I get to the very end of the top line, it says the average pledge, $132.09.
Oh, my God. I will take this to the data manager and the business manager immediately. Yes, really.
No, calling the police.
All right. Thank you for a little levity. Okay, now Jack had his hand, and then I see Joy and David.
Yes.
No.
I just wanted to know if these figures have been submitted to Tracy Rosenberg for confirmation and verification.
I'll pass on that. Okay, Joy.
One of the things that I noticed while I was in the fun room was the... entry of donations often had 4 cents, 3 cents, $82.01. So I wanted to look at how they were entering and where those pennies were coming from, because there either was a mistake or they're not entering the proper amount. I don't know anybody who gives us $32.04.
Well, one thing that I do know is if someone pledged for a particular premium, and they wanted it divided a number of months, 12 months, a lot of those figures don't come out even. And I would guess that that's the thing that you're referring to.
So let's say you call in and say, I want to pledge $100 and spread over 12 months. That comes out to 8.33333333333, et cetera, cents per month. So they got to round the monthly amount up. And then when they add up all the months, you're going to be a few cents off the annual pledge.
David, and then Andrea. Okay, great.
My question, I don't know if this has to do with the fund drive or not, but there was an. I received an email which enclosed a photocopy of a check from the Chevron Corporation. I don't know, was $115,000 or something like that? And I don't know if that
was—I
don't
Let's
know if that was a pledge.
David, you might not remember now, but I remember the day that I announced in a LSB meeting that a donor had given KPFA stock.
I remember
of
that.
Of Chevron.
I remember that.
And that we were going to convert it to money. We didn't want to have an investment in Chevron. And I, in fact, made a joke about repurposing Chevron money. And you thought it was funny. I think a number of people thought that was pretty funny. And so, hush. This was a donation from someone's will.
Oh, I see.
And it didn't. Chevron had nothing to do with giving us that money, but they did have to sign it over when they bought the stock back. Okay.
Thank you.
She just took
Barbara,
a break.
Craig. Next time, can you hold on to one share so we can get reporters into their shareholder meeting?
Fantastic idea.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Wells Fargo, too. We need a share.
Okay. So I have a question about page two of the program, you know, per program report. Yeah. It says programs with no pledges toward the bottom. And I imagine those a lot of these look like late night, early morning programs. But I'm just wondering, were no pledges received because nobody was, you know, donating during those hours, or there were no pitches during those hours? I'm just curious what explains the, you know, the $0 raised there.
People are asleep.
Late night. What time are we talking here?
Late night is raised.
Late night.
Okay, you don't know. All right. Is Andrea back? No, Janet.
I also think that some of the programmers in the middle of the night do refer people to the website to donate over online because there's nobody answering the phone in the middle of the night. Okay, Janet.
Yeah, so first I just wanted to say about this Chevron matter. The check itself was not from Chevron. It was from, like, the processor computer share.
That's right.
So it was not from Chevron. And I believe that whatever the processing of the bequest of these stocks, these Chevron stocks, go through some entity like computer share. So would, and then they put the company logo on the check.
That's right.
And so the same would happen with some other company that goes through ComputerShare. There would be a different logo on the check. Just wanted to mention that. Also, I'm wondering whether for that second page, the no pledges, were any of those programs preempted for the pledge drive? So that might be why. Okay. All right. So I ask my non-fund drive related questions now?
Well, are
just
there any
two,
more questions from anybody about the fund drive? Andrea, you had.
Barbara, I just want to know if we can get, if you could, I don't seem to have a digital copy. Did you send these digitally?
No, I didn't. This was printed out yesterday.
Okay, would you be willing to do that?
I will ask the data manager to do it. Yes, our secretary scans these, and we'll put it up on.
That'd be wonderful.
Okay.
Can you just make sure that the one you send has figures through Friday?
All right, we'll get a final. Well, it still will have additions, but we can get one from Chris through Friday.
That'd be
This is just a process question. We did suspend the item on budget approval for this meeting. Will we get an advance copy of the budget before we sit at the meeting?
It is my intention that you will.
Okay. I just wanted to check.
It is always my intention.
Thank you.
But it doesn't always work out.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. All right, so Janet, now the off topic or whatever it is.
Okay, so this has to do with the audit, and the other question has to do with the budget. I'll ask the budget question first. What is the, so we don't have the budget to consider approving today. Mm-hmm. And the deadline for the new fiscal year is the end of September. Can you share with us what timeline for, and maybe Brian also can add to that?
The Finance Committee does have a timeline for the budget, but in fact, we've been kind of tripping after every deadline that comes by. And as everybody knows, the organization has been living with incredible chaos for the number of months. And I think it's pretty amazing that we've gotten the records together as much as we do. I feel very bad that we don't have the budget to look at today. And I've been knocking myself out trying to help get this done. And we all understand the urgency. Last year, the PNB was not able to approve a budget before the end of the fiscal year. It fell into the next year. It has done that in years past. And it's always the intention that it should be done before the end of the current year. So we're trying. That's all I can say about it.
The prerequisite for kind of giving decent evaluations to budgets is having current year financial data to compare them to. Raul, our CFO, I don't know if you saw it in your email, got those out year to date last night. Apparently he was working till midnight. that was his deadline. He missed it if you're on the East Coast. The next step is going to be for him and the business managers at stations that have business managers to project the three remaining months of the fiscal year, right? So that there's a 12-month comparison to a 12-month budget. And I don't actually know what timeline Maria Negrette's working on for KPFA. I kind of talked to her and suggested it would be a good idea if KPFA could be a role model to the other stations. And she kind of said, I'm helping them plug leaks in the accounting problems next door with my time.
That's true. She is, but I also know that part of the work is done. There is there, it has begun some of the preparation for it.
Okay. So this other question is about the related to the audit, and maybe also Jose Luis can help with this. So, what is the status of the KPFA reconciliation, bank reconciliation process and preparation for the 2013 audit?
Well, some time ago, the reconciliation was completed for the whole year. But in fact, without making any changes each month of what, sometimes something will clear the bank, but not the our accounting system, and we have to reconcile. Each month this happens. And we have many, 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 many entries, so there's a lot of checking. So the initial reconciliation was done for the whole year. But in fact, for the audit purposes, it needed to be done by month. So that is one of the tasks that our business manager and her assistant have gone back to do this. And I don't know what month they're at, but it's all of these things are being worked on all the time on all fronts, Yes, Andrea.
I guess, you know, I'm not a financial analyst, and I don't have all this. I'm curious about whether or not is there enough help in the area of bookkeeping and business? Because as long as I've sat on this board, there's sort of a low level of chaos that's sort of communicated to us, that it's not possible to close the books, you know, at the end of the month, that somehow that's not possible. And what I hear is, you know, in the last administration, it was the national saying that the stations weren't doing it. Now I hear the stations saying the national is not doing it. And I guess I'm curious, like, what is your estimation? Because, again, I know folks that have businesses, and even perhaps bigger businesses than this. And I don't feel that sense of uncertainty and instability that I get from here. And I'm just curious, is there enough? Should we, in an upcoming budget another position? Is it a problem of not having enough staff? What's making it so that we can't live up to our responsibilities?
I get your question. And it isn't... I think maybe we could use a little more staff help, but I think the real problem is the general chaos in the whole organization. And we have a business manager who has many, many more duties than some of the other business managers. She's... Well, there's no uniformity in... There's nobody... passing a resolution to say all business managers have to have the same job description. You know, there's a lot of operations management that our business manager is interrupted for, you know. Now, I'm not saying that this is controlling everything that she does. She just has a great deal of responsibility. And I really think that the problem with keeping up with the kind of reporting schedule we need is more a function of the dysfunction of the whole organization, from the national office and the relating the business records back and forth.
So you figure that...
And I am very optimistic right now with what has been happening lately with our new GM and... what has been our PNB chair has been able to do at the national office of making things more functional there. And I think we're on the road to some kind of recovery, it seems to me. Margie.
Okay, I just want to comment about this. I want to say I have been, because... Raul has and the accounting staff in the national office have been working, you know, huge long hours. They've been there many more, you know, a lot of time. And I've been worried about this, and I've talked to Raul about the idea of what is needed in terms of accounting staff in the office. And he's thinking about that. His feeling at this point is that once we're over this hurdle and we're able to process stuff on a regular monthly basis, which is his goal. You understand he was off work for 8 months last year. We didn't have a CFO for 8 months. And what? No, he was not terminated. He was placed on a leave and returned to work eventually. the board returned him to work. But anyway, the fact of the matter is that because... we didn't have a CFO in place, and because I can't tell you, I invite you to come to the office and look at the files. It's stunning. I don't know.
I suggest that we move to the PNB report.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just finish this. And the fact of the matter is that one of the things that happened last year was that we changed payroll companies at a completely inappropriate time, that it was between pay periods, it was not related to the beginning or the end of the fiscal year. And there were huge mistakes made for the first several months that that payroll company was in place, and Maria had to spend enormous amounts of time fixing those errors. And that happened for other people at other stations as well. But those business managers, like Barbara says, do not have the other responsibilities. For example, at KPFK, they have both a business manager and an operations manager. We don't have that at KPFA. And the fact of the matter is that although they have, KPFA has more on-air paid staff than KPFK, but KPFK has more administrative. The payrolls are exactly the same for the two stations, but they have more people in administrative roles at KPFK. So these are all things that have to be looked at and have to be dealt with. The CFO is very serious about, trying to make these things work going forward. And I think, I think it's, I have to say that I think it's a friggin' miracle that he was able to pull these reports out, given where we were when we finally got back into the office, whenever that was, not very long ago.
Andrea?
Well, I mean, what those comments make me think is that, I would be interested in looking at job descriptions in our organizational chart, because maybe, and I'm hopeful that the new GM will undertake some of that, because I think some things are maybe falling through the cracks, and maybe there's some things that are redundant, and it might be useful to kind of, it's like it's playing soccer, and you don't know like who's gonna field, like who's the midfielder and who's the forward, it's just, it feels like it keeps us a little unstable, and I feel like here we are in this situation, we're supposed to be approving a budget, and we don't even have a budget. And as far as I know, I haven't even heard suggestions for what would be in that budget. For example, are we going to, if we have, where will we spend that money? It sounded like the GM was saying that he didn't want a development director. Do we believe that we should budget for one? Do we believe that we should be buying headsets and laptops or whatever for fundraising? Like what? Where would we dedicate whatever little meager funds we have in order and to what end? And it feels like that's a discussion that we should have.
We have had a discussion in February and March where it was an open discussion. I took notes of...
Did we vote? Were there any...
Well, we suggested. It was a discussion.
Well, may I...
And I just want to remind you that we did that, and I even typed up the little notes and passed them out. So I'm, you feel like there needs to be more.
We haven't decided.
More.
We haven't. There
no,
has to,
we haven't decided.
Decisions are what I'm looking for, because we can talk until we're blue in the face, and we often do, actually. But I'm hoping that we might actually make a statement about what we think is the road to growth. What do we think is the way to, and get some unity around a plan, because we talk about it, but we rarely talk it through. To the point where you say, yes, the will of this body is that we're going to invest in equipment, or we're going to invest in a development campaign, or we're going to invest in this. And we haven't, I would love to see, maybe, I kind of thought today might be the day when we would make some of those proposals or have some of that conversation. And if it's not today, I'd be curious about when that might happen. Or are we just totally abdicating? And are we just saying that Maria's going to, we're just going to pop a budget through a formula, put out a template. It looks a lot. It looks like last year's
30 seconds.
It looks like last year's budget, but it doesn't reflect any intentionality on our part. I think that's a mistake. I think it's a missed opportunity.
Joy.
So first, I just want to say that I think. A part of the dysfunction that the business office has to do with our revolving door and the interim general manager. We don't have a program manager. We don't have a development director. And some of these things fall on her. We don't have HR, human resources. Maria has to do all of that, too. So I'm not making excuses. I'm only saying, looking at the big picture, we've achieved a little stability with the new general manager. I hope we get the program director if that's what people want. And then we hopefully will be able to alleviate some of the other duties that Maria, and in fact, to be honest, when Richard was not in the office, everybody went to Maria. You know, who else was there to go to? So I wanted to just give, first of all, give her some slack because she's been given a very difficult task. We are a dysfunctional unit. We need to give her a chance, and I think if we continue to do what we committed to do, at least in getting the program director and hopefully a development director, that will take some. And Pacifica need to get their act together, too. We need HR at Pacifica so when there is an issue, somebody can KPFA can go next door and get some help. So I want us to just give us some time and back off from criticizing on their inability. We have been dysfunctional. We have been relying on Pacifica, and let's give us a little bit more time before we start adding personnel. I think she got enough help if she just had to do her job. So that's my two cents on that.
Craig.
I take Andrea's point to heart. I mean, I think it's a good one. We do need to figure out our priorities. And just in the meeting today, we've had the apprenticeship program. I raised the webpage. Now we're talking, people have raised development directors. Now we're talking about more administrative staff. And we do have limited funding, and we got to figure out what our priority is. But I just want to point out the process that for the budget review that was spelled out at the beginning of the year would have given us a couple months to develop a budget based on actual figures and figure out what those priorities are. What happened is we had an occupation of the national office for 3 months. Nothing got done. Andrea wasn't here at the last meeting, but the PNB representatives pointed out that things like payroll haven't been entered into the system for months. So Maria, who came to the last meeting, couldn't even provide us an accurate figure of the payroll, which is handled by the national office. Budget figures hadn't been entered into the system since the beginning of the fiscal year. There's a lot of stuff that didn't happen in the national office. Had it happened, we would have had an opportunity to have at least 2 months' review of the budget, to discuss our priorities, where we want to go, and so forth. And actually, by our original schedule, we would have voted on it last month. But of course, things didn't happen because the office was occupied, and the operations of the system were broken down or were obstructed. So we're living with those consequences right now. So I understand what Andrea is saying. I do hope next year we'll have a more orderly process where we have all the figures and we can analyze this and come up with, you know, a good set of priorities for where we want the station to go. But this year, things got interrupted, and we are living with those consequences right now.
I would like to move to the PNB report. Everything is pointing toward that. I think we've exhausted this subject, and so I don't know. I presume, Margie, you're going to give the PNB report. Wait a minute. I have an objection here. Andrea.
I got this because I thought I was going to say something, too.
Madam Chair, would it be appropriate to make suggestions to whoever is actually going to put this draft budget together to make recommendations for that?
I think actually we had a whole long meeting in February about this, and we've had some discussions along the way. I think you mean you want to do that right now? You want to give a list, or do you want to do something in writing? I'm asking you a question. Do you want to do something in?
I would say if we don't do it now, I'd be curious as to know when we would do it.
I know you're dismissing the idea that I brought up a minute ago, or the reminder that I gave you a few minutes ago about the discussions we had in February and March. But here are the ideas that people presented, and they have been given to the business manager, and they are a lot of the things that were mentioned today and mentioned the last budget round of we need a better website, we need a support for the apprenticeship program. So
So really she's going to decide?
Preparation.
We're going to be given a draft budget, and we're going to vote on it. And you're going to get to make changes. That's what happens every year.
The preparation of the budget is a management function. The business manager and the general manager make up a budget. They take into consideration. They ask the staff, the people there, what do you need? What did you...
You're out of order. You're out of order. She's talking. I was listening to her.
Okay, hold it. Hold it. Hold it. We're not talking about the budget today. We don't have the proposal here. We've had discussions on the budget previously. We accepted the agenda with the changed removal of the budget, and we had a treasurer's report, and that is concluded.
So my question, just to clarify, everybody relax.
Okay, what's the question?
You guys are making it scary around here. It doesn't have to be. It's just, I'm just asking, it was a question, people, relax. It was when would we do that? That was the question. If
well,
not today,
I would
when?
Say, I would say that two things. One is that we had two meetings where we did a lot of that. We have pages. We have what people suggested on this. We've had discussions along the way. We had a discussion here. Your list, some of your things are listed on here. Janet's things, Frank's things, these were on there. And if you have some other things to do, I suggest that you could write something that you send to all of us around between now and next meeting, and then it could be discussed as part of the discussion of the budget at the next meeting. And okay, Frank, do you have a point of order or what?
I think that's kind of answered my question. Is like that would be our time to discuss the budget, and then we vote on it that day, and that's it. We're done.
Yes.
And so then when we go to. If we go to make changes that day and let's say one of us disagrees or we want to do it, then we just say, hey, I'd rather do it this way. Then we say who's going to agree to this or not.
We vote. Okay, now we're going to go to the PNB report. The PNB report is the next item on the agenda.
I think we can have discussion online.
Use the mic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so since...
Is the mic on?
The mic is on. I'm using it. Since Bernard Duncan left at the beginning of July, I've been going to the PNB, to the PNO every day and meeting with staff and working on what needs to happen. Literally, on his last day of work, the office manager, Tamika Miller, went out, and she's been out since then. We are a fairly small staff, but we work very well collectively, and we're busy trying to get things done. It's not just the financial records in the office that are difficult. All records are difficult. For example, I was upset about how much money we were paying for our copy machine. I cannot find anywhere in the office, in any of the files that I have access to, a copy of our contract with the copy machine people. I don't know what happened to it. It's not there. It makes it hard to have a conversation with them. I've asked them for a copy. They'll give it to me. The primary focus of what we're doing in the office is dealing with financial issues. So, for example, we were sued by our former general counsel. I'm not totally clear, and I'm trying to get clear about this. It looks to me, from looking at the records that are available to me, that he filed a lawsuit against us in October of 2013. The board was never informed of that. I don't remember that. My memory's bad, and I'll be happy to look at minutes, but I don't remember being told that he'd sued us. And that he got a judgment from the Alameda County Court in April that we had defaulted because Pacifica never responded to his suit, never sent anybody to court on the day that the suit was heard. And then he notified us at the end of July that he was going to court on August 8th. On the 31st of July, he notified us that he was going to court on August 8th and would presumably get, access.
Is this open?
Yeah. Okay. It's all, it can't be secret, can it? It's in the court records.
It's in the court records.
And so we are now negotiating with him to resolve the issue. we're negotiating with him to resolve this issue without any more court activity, and I have great hopes that that will happen. This past week, we were going through a pile of papers that I was found on somebody's desk, and I discovered that we've also been sued. A notice was there, which no one had paid any attention to, that we've been sued by a agency that provides temporary office help because we owe them money, we haven't paid them, and we hadn't responded to any of their demands for payment. So there's that kind of stuff going on. The question is, Virginia's gone. I'm sorry. I hope someone will communicate to Virginia. The Elections Committee is working on the question of elections, trying to figure out a schedule that would have us complete our goal of having elections before the end of the calendar year. No one has made a decision about hiring or not hiring a national election supervisor. What we know is that there were very few applications, and that what Bernard Duncan had reported to the Elections Committee previously was that there were only three applications, and that he didn't consider that a robust enough pool from which to select a national election supervisor. It is the responsibility of the executive director to select the election supervisor. So we reposted the job with an August 15th deadline, and it's up on the website, and I've bugged all the stations about putting it on their website, and some stations have even run announcements about the fact that we're hiring an election supervisor, and I believe we've had some additional applications, and the committee will talk about how to go forward with this. The main problem with elections, of course everyone understands, is the question of money, and while elections were budgeted for in everybody's budget for this year, whether that's real money or not is a big issue and is something that we're trying to figure out. The financial, the CFO made a promise that he would get out financial documents by August 8th, and he has done that. They were emailed to the PMB and to the Finance Committee last night. We, of course, have, and that's fabulous, and people will be able to look at them and you know, decide for themselves how much financial trouble we're in. Pretty significant, I think. Sure. Yeah, okay. Brian, we'll just forward them to all of you right now. Of course, we have been able to dramatically cut expenses in the national office. You know, I get lost. You just all have to tell me to shut up, because I get lost in the forest for the trees, or however it works, trees for the forest. For example, those people who work for Pacifica who live in California, their medical coverage comes through Kaiser. And we, for some reason that neither Raul nor I understand, we pay for Kaiser through a broker. We don't know why we don't pay Kaiser directly, but we pay through a broker. This broker has a policy that requires us to pay on the 25th of the month for the next month. So July 25th, you pay for Kaiser coverage for August for the employees covered. They also have a policy that if you don't pay on the 25th of the month, you pay they call it a really fancy name, but it's a finance charge. Only they got another name for it.
A late fee.
No, they don't even call it that.
That's what it is.
It's a big, complicated set of words. Over the past 2 years, we've paid $21,000 in late fees on this plan because the Kaiser bill was never paid by the 25th of the month. So that's not going to happen again going forward, and we managed to pay it by July 25th because somebody from Kaiser called us and said, you guys know what's going on here? Because Kaiser, it's not money that goes to Kaiser, it's money that goes to the broker that we pay, who then forwards the payment to Kaiser. The same kind of thing happened with around bank accounts. Bank accounts, at the in-person PMB meeting in New York in February of 2013, We had a presentation from a representative from the Bank of America who was proposing that all of the stations and the national office and the Pacifica Radio Archives and the affiliates program essentially have one bank account with sub-accounts. And there was a very, I would say, fairly dramatic reaction against that from most of the stations. People didn't want to do that. In other words, all of the money of the entire organization would be pooled in one bank account. And it would be very easy to move money from one place to another. People didn't like that idea. And so it was never followed up on, except that individual bank accounts for each of the stations were set up through the Bank of America. The only station that uses that account is KPFK. Those bank accounts were never funded. They're sitting there empty. They've been empty for a year and a half. And we've been charged over $9,000 in fees because the bank accounts were not populated. Okay, so it's not the kind of job that you go home from every day feeling just swell, because you get, like, bad news every day. And then people call you up and say, you owe me $342 and you've never paid me, and I've been billing you since 2011. And I'm going, like, oh, my God. Okay, so we're working on it. We had some really good news. We got a donation from a donor that we know absolutely nothing about because there are no records to be found in the office. A guy named Joe Toyoshima, who lives in Los Angeles, gave us $150,000. We don't even know why. We wrote him a really nice letter and thanked him really big time and with lots of praise. But
he gave it KPFK.
I have no idea. It was to Pacifica. It was $150,000 to Pacifica. So we've cut down on the expenses in the office. I'm not getting paid. Raul is taking a cut in his pay. Other people are being paid less than they could make at other jobs, and we don't have as many staff as we had before. So, and we're stopping the bleeding everywhere we can. Every single place that we can stop the bleeding, we're stopping it. But the fact of the matter is, it's a difficult situation. The last thing I want to say is that we're working on ideas for improving the situation. The general managers are discussing a proposal for a legacy giving program, which would, you know, help us set up wills and bequests. And in the national office, I am working on getting a fundraising letter out as soon as possible. Phil Osageda, who worked previously as the development person in the national office, is helping me with this. What we need right now is we need people who are willing to come in and spend a little bit of time updating our donor database. There was a mailing last winter, and we have literally hundreds of returns where addresses need to be corrected in the database. And if people are willing to come in and spend a few hours working on that, we'll be happy to have you. So get in touch with me if you want to do that. And I will plug you right into the machine where you can do this. It's an Excel program. Some people don't like Excel, I know, but I think it's fairly easy to use, and it's a huge help for us because we want to do this mailing as soon as possible. I could go on and on and on and on and on and tell you, you know, what I do every day, but I don't think that's helpful. Suffice it to say that I think we're trying our darndest to move things forward and achieve a better functioning in the national office. It's not easy. There you go.
Brian, did you want to add as a financial person, or if Janet wants to go first? Go ahead, Janet.
Right, so I wanted to, Jose Luis, you're on the audit committee, and I'm curious to know what the status of the 2013 audit is. I know there have been, a number of issues, but can you give us an update about that, and also the schedules from the different, the audit schedules from the different stations.
So the there's issues in the audit committee, and the issues is we don't have a chair, and there is some process needs to go through to get a chair in the audit committee. So the audit committee is dysfunctional, but my understanding in the whole audit process is that we're not going to get it done in August. Raul just got out schedules now. There still seems to be other things we need from stations, so we're probably looking sometime in September, October. The auditors need 2 months once they get the books to do the work. When they're going to get it, I think it's a Raul question, Margie, Brian question, you know, what's happening with these reconciliations that are needed and getting the schedules to the auditors.
Yeah, I don't know anything beyond what Raul wrote in his report, which is that he hopes for the audit to start at the end of the month. I mean, the auditors to actually start their work. What's in what he emailed out last night to you and the rest of the board? I don't have a lot else to report on. I think hit last month the dismal state of the books in the national office, and Margie hit the work that's going on. I do want to point out, the National Board has sent this board some business, which is a bylaw amendment.
Right.
We have a limited time window in which to vote on it, if we want to vote on it at all. And the rate we're making progress through this agenda, we will not get to a vote today,
right,
which means we will have effectively rejected it without voting. I'd like to suggest that we suspend the rules that prevent us from considering it right now.
So I agree with that. That's part of the PNB business that we're obligated to deal with. And I think that we'll go with your suggestion, and then we can return to the discussion. But who has the resolution? It's about the bylaws and the frequency with which we may. Okay, so I'll. Maybe I'll read it. Or does everybody have it?
Everybody has it.
Okay. I think I think I should read it. Okay. Frequency of bylaw amendment period. Rationale description. The proposed amendment seeks to increase the number of annual bylaw amendment periods from the current once per year to twice per year. The purpose is to facilitate such changes by increasing the objective opportunities for members, LSBs, and the PNB to propose and enact such changes. LSBs and the PNB are often overwhelmed with other work, and as a result, the annual bylaws amendment process creeps up on us, filing deadlines are missed, and we end up having to wait until the following year when the cycle repeats itself. Shortening the length of time in between amendment periods would help keep the timeline on people's minds and schedules. The end result would be bylaws that more accurately reflect current Pacifica reality and needs. Current language. Article 17, Amendment of the Articles of Incorporation and Bylaws, Section 1, Proposing Amendments. 1. Voting and approval. 1. Unless the board, by a two-thirds vote, decides otherwise, there shall be a maximum of one ballot per calendar year related to the amendment of the Foundation's bylaws, which annual voting period shall be determined by the board. All properly proposed bylaw amendments shall be held until that date, which is 45 days before the earliest of the voting dates of the board and of the delegates, as determined by the board, paren, the notice date. On the notice date, the proposed amendments to the bylaws shall be posted on the Foundation's website, and the Foundation's radio station shall broadcast an announcement 3 times a day, twice between 6 a.m. and 11 p.m., and once between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. for a period of 45 days, paren, the notice period, and paren, regarding the existence of the proposed amendment
amendments on the Foundation's website for review and the upcoming vote by the board and delegates regarding said amendments. The results of said voting by the board and the delegates on the proposed amendments shall be reported within 15 days of the board and delegates' meetings to vote on these amendments. Note, the words that have been, have been deleted have a strike through to be deleted. Is that on the other side? I don't have the second page.
It's on the back.
I don't have it on the back. Okay. Note, words to be deleted have a strike through are in bold. Words to be added are in bold and in caps. Article 17, Amendments of Articles of Incorporation and Bylaws, Section 1, Proposing Amendments. Voting and approval. Unless the board, by a two-third vote, decides otherwise, there should be a maximum of one ballot, two ballots. Okay, two ballots will replace one ballot per calendar year related to the amendment of the Foundation's bylaws, which annual voting period shall be determined by the board one quarter. I don't know. And also, it's probably not annual voting period anymore. That's anyway, whatever. What this is changing from once a year to twice a year. All right, so that's the substance of it. Mal. Mike, right in front of you. Mike.
Hello, Mike. My personal view is that the PNB should be allowed to pass bylaws whenever it damn well wants to, as long as it has the requisite vote, and there should be no such limitation. But given that we're now in a period of only one vote per year, and this proposes to raise it to a whole two per year, I'm for it.
Janet.
Right, and this is a bylaws change, would be a bylaws change to make it not just the PNB, but in order for a bylaws amendment to pass, it has to pass the PNB and three of the five stations, and it has to be a majority of all of the members of each one. So for this body, it would have to be at least 13 votes.
Margie?
Okay, so I think this is the appropriate thing to do. I move that the KPFA LSB approve this bylaw amendment.
Delegates.
Oh.
We're voting as delegates.
We vote as delegates, which means what?
Do we go out of?
Does it matter whether the LSB approves it?
Oh, it's the delegates. Okay,
delegate
so.
The delegate
assembly approves it. So acting, I move that acting as the delegate assembly, we approve this bylaw amendment.
Okay. And do we have to adjourn and reconvene and that kind of stuff? Okay. As delegates.
Yes.
Okay. We're voting as delegates, and it's been seconded.
Okay. And there's no one here from. Okay. So.
Okay.
The person from Fresno would not be allowed to vote, but there's no one here.
Okay.
From Fresno.
All right. Are we ready to vote? This has to be a roll call vote. Okay.
Well, is there more discussion?
I just want to be clear on the procedure. It's an absolute majority, so it requires 13 affirmative votes from this body in order to pass.
Okay.
Not a majority of who's in the room.
Yes. Right. Yes. Okay. Ramses, do you have something? You've got to use the microphone if you do.
Yeah, I had questions, discussion, but I know are we on motion now to go ahead? Okay, well, I just have a question about who, I mean, I'm a little concerned that there's like, right now there's one per year, and now you want two per year. So I'm getting familiarized with this process. I'm a little familiar with the process I know we have in our union, which is a little more open, right? We just have to like really announce ahead of time, and the whole membership has to actually vote, kind of like an election, right? So I wanted to ask is, does everybody vote for the amendments, like the whole membership of Pacifica or KPFA, or is it delegated? And to what extent is it delegated?
Brian, you want to answer that and the microphone?
So there are a number of things our bylaws require membership approval for. So any type of bylaw change that would affect members' rights to vote for representatives. Any bylaw change that would affect the way members' votes are counted. So anything that affects members' rights triggers a ratification vote by the membership. Other things, like our bylaws specify how many meetings per year and in what months the national board meets. That's the kind of thing, bylaw, that we could change without member ratification.
But it still involves...
But it would still be the national board voting and being ratified by at least three of the five local boards.
And has to be two-thirds... And the vote has to be two-thirds of the national board and an absolute majority of the three local station boards.
To change.
And I just point out that this bylaws amendment is supported by an unusual mix of people from both all sides of the great divide. And originally introduced by George Ryder, who's the chair of the governance committee and is someone who pays pretty close attention to how we do business.
Janet and then Craig.
Yeah, there is also a way for the membership to propose bylaws. Amendments too.
That's right.
That's in the bylaws too.
Yes.
So
it's
all if you're going to speak, use the microphone.
So this only affects one of the limitations on how we can change bylaws, which is right now our bylaws say you can only go through one round of voting on bylaw changes per year. So for instance, we had 10 separate bylaw proposals under consideration when the National Board voted on them. 12, excuse me, we had 12, I'm corrected. One of them, the person who submitted, had fucked up one of the sentences, and she pulled it. She pulled it. We can't vote, I think was an uncontroversial amendment, but we can't vote on it again for a year, the way things currently stand. Or like, Pacifica let its corporate registration in California lapse last year. And someone else registered Pacifica's name. We had to change our name from Pacifica Foundation to Pacifica Foundation Radio. Now our articles of incorporation don't match our corporate registration with the Secretary of State. So when Maria Negrette, who's been working on getting the county tax assessor's office to give us the nonprofit break on our property taxes, has to submit the paperwork, they say your bylaws don't match your actual registration with the Secretary of State. We can't fix that for another year, whether or not we all think it's a good idea.
It. All right, Craig.
So this just gives us more bites at the apple over the course of the year.
Well, so this gets to the question I have, because under the Section B of the current language, it says, unless the board by a two-thirds vote decides otherwise, there's only one per year. So it sounds like the board has the power now to hold other bylaws amendment changes if it decides by two-thirds vote to do so, and I'm wondering why that isn't sufficient with the current language. Is there some reason the board can't hold two-thirds votes? So that's my question.
We did this year.
Okay. We're going to vote on this. Roll call.
Carol's dad.
Okay. So... So I'll vote yes. Alderson votes yes. Bernstein?
Yes.
Bernstein, yes. Edward Stiekert?
Yes.
Edward Stiekert, yes. Urkola?
Yes.
Urkola, yes. Fuentes?
Abstain.
Fuentes abstains. Gans?
Yes.
Gans, yes. Goldmacher, not here. Gowen?
Yes.
Gowen, yes. Hernandez, not here. Johnson, not here. Coburn?
Yes.
Coburn, yes. Kurzweil, not here. Landau, not here. Moore?
Yes.
Moore, yes. Morgan, not here. Pritchett?
Yes.
Pritchett, yes. Sanders, not here. So, well, he doesn't vote anyway, if he were here. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling, yes. Tao Nichols?
Yes.
Tao Nichols, yes. Travis?
Yes.
Travis, yes. Welsh?
Not here.
Welsh, not here. Whipperman?
Whipperman,
yes. White?
Yes.
White, yes. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Wilkinson, yes. 16, yes. 0, no.
Wow.
Well, we started out at the beginning of year with that kind of habit. Okay. Is there other business for the PNB report? Does anybody else want to make any? You've got to use the microphone, Margie.
I just wanted to report on some court stuff. The lawsuit that was filed against Pacifica and the board majority by 9 Pacifica directors was to be heard in court on August 14th. And Summer Reese's mother died recently, and so she asked for an extension, and it was granted to her. So it's been rescheduled to September 18th, I think that's right. Is that right? September 18th. Okay. And we were notified yesterday that the 3 directors from New York who had originally signed on to that lawsuit have withdrawn. The other legal thing is the question of the FSRN lawsuit. We have a court date on the FSRN lawsuit, I think September 4th. I have asked Dan Siegel, who advised us initially, to help us through this next period. And I think it will involve some discovery and some responses. We're hoping to resolve this with FSRN. We may even be able to resolve it with them before September 4th, but we must at this point act as if we're going to court on September 4th. We don't have any choice about that. So I told you about the Andy Gold lawsuit, and I told you about the lawsuit from Robert Half. So as far as I know, that's all the legal action that's happening at the national level.
You've got to use the microphone if you want to say something. Okay.
And we are dealing with an EEOC complaint. Yes.
Okay. Anything more on the PNB? Gone. Old business. Resolution on the sale of Pacifica licenses. David is left, or he's just taking a leak. All right. We're going to move to KPFA policy regarding calling the police. And
we'll come back to David.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Yeah.
I think most of us have it before us. Burton, I see your hand up. You need the microphone if you're going to speak. Go ahead. Andrea, do you want to read it? Or do you want to just have it? You want to read it?
I mean, I think everybody's got a copy of it, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It needs to be in the record. Moved.
I see.
Okay, so.
Should I read it?
Move it.
I'd like to move the following resolution for the folks back home. Although KPFA cannot prevent people from calling the police and inviting them to the station, the local station forward can put forward guidelines for management, employees, and staff in the form of a general statement of our intention regarding police. We understand that calling the police and asking for their assistance can have unintended consequences and cause unintended harm to individuals, especially people of color. We understand that most often when police abuse people or engage in misconduct or criminal activity, they are not held accountable. We also understand that to identify individuals to police in any way is an act of aggression, since often police will act in ways which target people of color for violence. Therefore, identifying people to police should be discouraged. With these understandings, we call upon our staff and management to, 1, avoid casual contact with police agencies and do not invite them into the station. We regard such contacts as events which weaken our unity and trust within the station. Police should never be called or contacted by those who represent the station unless there is a clear and imminent threat of violence against the workers or facilities of KPFA. We consider calling police or seeking their assistance to be a last resort after all peaceful means have been exhausted. Number two, use alternatives to police. Do not call police to settle disagreements between those working in the station. Work with management, other staff, to peacefully resolve conflicts. Management shall create clear procedures to assist staff in addressing interpersonal conflicts and provide a method for documenting behavior which violates personnel policies and or degrades like the work environment. That some sentence was clipped off of there.
Is there a second? A second.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought it was the station environment. I'm looking up the original right now. Here we go. Wow.
The workplace environment.
Huh? Yeah, let's just call it the workplace environment. I have the same thing here. I don't know what happened.
Degrades the workplace environment.
No, this is home.
Okay, moved and seconded.
So if I may motivate it?
Go ahead.
So as you guys may remember way back in the day, this was a response to the interim executive directors putting out a statement that, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it, but it was in regard to a particular employee who had been banned from the premises. But it, in this notice to employees, it was very alarmist, and in my view, and it called upon people to, that the police had been contacted and they were on alert in case this person should come back, and it really jacketed that individual, who was also African American, and so, in this way, to alert the police, in this way, I find it to be very dangerous, and I don't think it was warranted at all. And I think that within the culture of KPFA, there's a variety of people come to KPFA with their own personal experience. Some people, the police serve and protect them. Some people, the police are harassing and abusing them. And it's very different experiences of that. But as far as the culture of the left, it's considered pretty bad. Where I come from, it's considered an act of violence. That if you, because you don't know what you're going to get. When you call the police, you might get a wonderful problem solver, or you might get somebody who leads with their gun. And so I think that, you know, I'm not trying to pass legislation. I know that ultimately the general manager is responsible for personnel policies and so forth. This is more of a statement of intention and an assertion of our culture of KPFA and what we're hoping for. And I'd like to be able to hold the general manager accountable for this. I don't want an environment at KPFA where I even feel that calling the police can be a traumatizing event for some folks. And that if they feel the KPFA is a place where people individually feel at liberty to call the police, that it becomes an unsafe environment. So I hope you will vote for this.
Burton.
I'd like to offer an amendment, and if that is appropriate, and then to speak to the reasons for it, if that is appropriate.
Go ahead.
I would like to strike everything except the last paragraph. And it is my understanding that the last paragraph properly concludes after the word degrades with the words the workplace environment. So that if my amendment is agreed to, it would just be that last paragraph as completed.
Is there a second? Okay.
And
now
like
you can
to
motivate
just
it.
Say a word or two. I don't disagree with Andrew's motive or some of the language or any of the language in it, but I rather think that it is the responsibility of the station management to develop the particular articulation of the policy. It is up to us to ask management or to direct management to undertake certain action, and I think that last paragraph does it. And for that reason, indeed we could communicate to management the rest of the language, but for what I'm proposing is that our official language be the last paragraph only.
All right, on the amendment. You're speaking on the amendment, Frank?
I'll try. I think that's what I'm doing.
I have a point of information.
Point
so,
of information.
The title of the motion is KPFA policy regarding calling police. There, that if it only consists of this last paragraph, how does it relate to the title, Burton?
That was partially what I was going to say. That it's basically.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, I thought I was.
That was a point of information.
Oh. I think that the spirit of the communication to the general manager is, shall create clear procedures, etc. We can either keep or delete the title. I hadn't thought that the title was governing. I thought the language was governing, and that's what I concentrated upon.
Frank and then Brian.
I feel kind of like, I'm about to call you Cynthia, sorry. I feel like what Janet just said is kind of important, that it basically cuts out, you know, a lot of the explanation and the word police for all that matter. And speaking as a victim of police violence, when my neighbors had called the police just for a noise complaint and I ended up being beat over the head with a flashlight, kicked in the face, my friend got tasered in my living room at the hands of the police from someone just calling the police for a noise complaint. So I feel like most of us are probably in agreement with what all this says. I would just like to leave it whole as is and vote on it as it is, because like Jana just said, there won't even be one word about police in there after that. And yeah, so there won't even mention the word police if we just leave it to the last paragraph. So I don't see the reasoning for really just chopping it down to one paragraph when it really explains what we feel, and some of our thoughts behind it are kind of expressed in those first few words, and I would just appreciate it remaining as whole as it is, speaking personally as a victim of that brutality.
Brian.
So I am not from, I think, the targeted community this is describing. I grew up in a family where I grew up to stories of FBI agents knocking on my stepfather's house to check up on his parents when he was growing up because of their affiliation with the Communist Party. And that sense of persecution was certainly part of his lived experience. I took a police beating at a protest that required me to get full anesthesia surgery and a root canal, and could not even ask a cop for directions for a couple years after that because of the associations that brought up. But I look at the language in here and think of the actual reality in the station, and I can't sign on to the language that comes before the first paragraph. It says before the last paragraph. It says avoid casual contact with police agencies and do not invite them into the station. You know, that's part of my job. The Alameda County Sheriff wants to buy drones. We do a segment on it. We invite them on to explain to their constituents to come into. It says, do not invite them into the station, and please do not interrupt me either. You know, we've tried to get the Berkeley Chief of Police on. I know you've had dinner with him. I can't get him on, but we try. It's part of our job.
I had dinner with the Chief of Police?
That's what it said in an article I said. I'm saying there's a lot of reasons to have contact with police that come up in routine day-to-day operations. If a $1,000 microphone walks out of the station and I've come in to do a 4:30 a.m. news shift,
not casual.
Excuse me.
Up.
You got to file a police report. I had a threat mailed to me at the station. I handed it to my manager. It was Richard at the time. I said, it doesn't seem very serious to me, but I thought you should see it. He said, look, I got to file a police report. Because on the off chance that someone does something and something happens to you, if the station hasn't reported it to the police, then the station is liable for what happens. There's all kinds of situations where there's not a clear and imminent threat of violence, where it's still more appropriate to involve the police than to take matters into your own hands. And there's also a lot of circumstances. I completely agree with you. That email that Summer sent out was over the top. It was completely unnecessary. It was contrary to the culture we hope to have inside of the station. But I don't think this fixes that. I think getting rid of bad managers fixes that kind of situation. So I agree with the only action, as I understand it, that is actually acting for, but I can't sign on to a directive
30 seconds.
That tells the people who work inside the station that they can't invite police in.
Craig.
I'll pass.
Margie.
Thank you. Somebody keep
I'm keeping time.
On time.
You've
Thank
already
you.
Done t-
no, no.
7 seconds.
I was keeping time before you interrupted me. Okay. Now, I want to say, I totally get this. I grew up in North Oakland. When I moved there, it was an African American community. I get this. Stood outside the Panther headquarters to protect them from police raids. But life is complicated, my friends. And I don't like calling the police, but I'll tell you that when Summer Reese occupied the national office, I called the police, and I couldn't get him to do a goddamn thing without a court order. They wouldn't come. They wouldn't show up. They wouldn't do anything. So I just think... Well, okay, I'm telling you, I think life is complicated, and I don't think this resolution speaks to those complexities. But more importantly, I believe that the people who have to decide what happens in our station, and this was why, I think maybe Andrea remembers that this board... I don't remember what the words of the vote were, but we voted to essentially reject Summer's letter because we thought it was over the top. It was a complete consensus, as far as I recall. The fact of the matter is that it is the people who work in the station who have to figure this out, and it's not appropriate for us to do it.
Ramses.
So after the reading of the original motion, right, the full piece here, I am with it in generally. I think there are some language in there that I'm not too sure about, or I feel like I don't know if maybe we lose some of the message as board members to the station and the folks who are in there day to day who may have to deal with the situation of having to call the police or not. I know I'm not at the station that often, right? So I don't want to presume like that I know that the whole situation or the dynamics there and how people deal with issues of conflict or behavior and so on. What I can express is that from my experience with social services, nonprofits, and I expressed some of this back when Summer Reese made that letter about a former staff member at KPFA, which I very much appreciate that we all agreed to reject that letter and basically ask her to not do that over-the-top type of thing again. What I was sharing then is that there's always, like, in these nonprofits that I worked at where we deal with a lot of conflict and interpersonal issues and drama between people and sometimes even staff, you know, and clients and the whole mix is, you know, we try to do more than just, you know, a resolution or a quick guideline for it, but actually start creating a whole culture behind how to de-escalate conflict, you know, how to create better practices. I feel like I wish that Quincy was still here because he's a large part of the equation at this point as the new general manager. I would actually feel more comfortable if we were able to postpone this, you know, and actually bring Quincy into the mix of this and come up with something more united. You know, I'm not going to pretend that we're all going to fully agree, but something that has his input in there, you know, and the rest of us also be able to still listen to each other today like we're doing. And thanks, Burton. I know you pointed out to your substitute motion, and I have to say I don't agree with it. I respect that, but I don't agree with it because I feel like it misses like so much of the intent of the original motion to begin with, that it almost feels like it erases a lot of the issues that the other folks are bringing up that I think are really valid. Like, I would like to see some details, right? I would like to folks here to kind of take a step back and recognize this is the board members sending a resolution to the station and to the folks who are there day to day. You know, it's not necessarily like this is a must do, but if that's a bad dynamic and people feel like we don't want something like that, then we also need to take a step back and understand how we can maybe rewrite it in a way that feels respectful and that we still address the very key issues here about the prison industrial complex and calling the police and how that makes things worse specifically for a lot of people of color.
I've got on the list Joy and Kate. I want to just for information remind people of two things. One is that in February we passed a resolution that said that we asked the general manager in consultation with the staff to come up with a policy as to when to call the police, and that was unanimously adopted by this body. That's one thing I want to point out, and the second thing I want to remind people, which is obvious, is that Quincy is black, and we're in a different situation, and I think that's very meaningful and very important. And Joy and Kate, and then I think David, Janet, and Brian.
First of all, I want to take exception to that last statement because Nadja Foster was drug out of the station and the manager was black. The general manager, I didn't say she called the cops, but she was the manager of the station.
Well, it wasn't Summer
I didn't
Reese.
Say she called the cops. I'm saying she was the general manager at the time.
Okay.
So, but I want to just say,
Summer Reese.
In the terms of this, I'm tending to go both ways in that I don't believe the beginning of it, including that number one bullet, is anything more than an editorial. And so if we're going to editorialize, that's something else. But I do think that we should include number two. This is just a suggestion to Andrea that maybe she might take upon herself to amend it. Number two and the last paragraph actually are actions. Actions. Not just editorializing, not just theory, not just what we think and what's right. And so I would like to suggest that instead of us, you know, putting our beliefs about the police, because obviously we all are not going to agree. We don't all have the same ideas, I don't think, on that. I think all of us can agree that we would like people to use alternatives to the police, avoid calling the police to settle disagreements, and management shall create a clear procedure. And I think that'll work for what we need to do because we can spend all this time talking about it, and we don't pass anything. And I'm afraid that that's what's going to happen. So that's my two cents.
Would you like to make that a motion, an amendment?
I would make a friendly amendment.
Okay.
And the amendment would be.
Is there a second to the amendment?
Well, let me say what the amendment. So the amendment would be that we would, the proposal would say KPFA will use or seek to use alternatives to the police, avoid calling police to settle disagreements between those working in the station, work with management, other staff to peacefully resolve conflicts. Management shall create clear procedures to assist staff in addressing interpersonal conflicts and provide a method for documenting behavior which violates personnel policies and or degrades the workplace at KPFA.
Is there
we
a
may
second?
Have a better chance of passing.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. Point of order.
The bylaws provide for the duties of the LSB. They don't include setting procedures for running the station.
But policies, yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, now, wait a second. I have...
May, May I finish?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes,
thank
of course.
You. So it seems to me that any action by this body should be preceded by a request to management to provide policies that blah, blah, blah.
That's what it says.
Okay. All right. Now we have an amendment to the amendment.
Can we have a second reading of how it would read as amended?
Yeah. All right. Let me read what I understand you have. Okay? All right. Go ahead. You read, Joy.
With these understand... Well, instead of... We can't say...
Title.
With these,
do we have a title?
Okay. Hold on. It would be KPFA policy regarding calling police. We call upon management and staff to avoid to use alternative to police, avoid calling police to settle disagreements between those working in the station, work with management and other staff to peacefully resolve conflicts. We call on management to create clear procedures to assist staff in addressing interpersonal conflicts and provide a method for documenting behavior which violates personnel policies and or degrades the workplace. This is an alternative. Yes.
Okay.
Substitute motion.
I want to know what the word between management and clear procedures.
Management shall create. Oh, I'm sorry. Management shall create. I'm sorry. What's already here?
Margie, if you're going to talk, you've got to use the mic.
So we should just get one version.
Let's get one version here.
I'm totally lost. If you could write it down, it would really, really help.
All right. It's actually here.
Okay,
and
just make the amendment. I can't keep up with
it. Okay. I'll do it.
Oh, wait. Let's while she's writing this out to get on the table, I'm going to finish the list of people who had already raised their hands to speak on this matter generally. Once we have Joy's amendment to the amendment, we'll vote, unless we want to talk some more, on the substitute amended. And so Kate is next.
I just have a kind of procedural question. Did we ever get a second to the original amendment?
Yes.
Okay, that wasn't clear to me.
Yes.
So, and then we need a second to this
we
amended amendment.
We got a second
amendment.
To the amendment. Okay. We got seconds
so
about that.
So we're
the...
ready to
we're,
rock and
we're
roll.
We're ready, 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 Freddy.
Okay, that's all.
Great. David.
Yeah, I'd like to support Joy's amendment. I think it's a practical thing. As the brother over here said, it's a suggestion to management. We're not dictating what should be done. We're not in a position to do that. But I think we do have the ability as a local station board to make suggestions, and that's what this is about. And we are a body of KPFA. We are not nothing. We do have a voice, and I think we should use it to express our views on this. And I think this is a very reasonable and reasoned statement, and I think it would help to give guidance to people working at the station about us and our relationship with the police. It doesn't mean that if somebody steals a $1,000 microphone that we can't call the police. It doesn't mean that if we have to get police reaction to something that involves them that we can't call them up and get the reaction. But it does mean that when things start to get out of hand, it does give a little guidance as to how we should deal with police, which I think is realistic. So I'd like to support it.
Brian.
An amendment.
You've got to use the microphone.
I was going to propose a synthesizing amendment that is similar to Joy's, and I want to hear the language that's actually going into our record, but I think it's on the right track. Because I do think we can express an intent. What makes me nervous is hard rules that don't anticipate all the situations where the station or the people in it might have to actually deal with police.
Point of order.
No button. Okay. I think we're too deep in amendments, aren't we, Brian?
No.
Where
no.
are we with that? We have one, two, three. And
no,
you
no, we have one. We have two. He's, that wasn't an amendment. We've got. Yeah, he didn't propose an amendment. Okay. Janet and Andrea.
That's my hand. I support Joy's amendment. I was going to say something else before
Andrea?
She made her amendment, but yeah.
No, now I do. Andrea?
Thank you. Yeah, I support it. That's fine. I think Joy's motion amendment, you know, fortunately she's able to understand the spirit of the proposal. And the spirit of the proposal is that, you know, I'm not clear what you guys are hearing about it, but I've heard a number of folks complain. They've come to us here and they've complained about racism on different levels within KPFA. And I feel like there is an ease with which some people in privileged situations, white people, moneyed people, whoever, feel an ease about calling the police in situations where they feel uncomfortable. And I think what I want to do ultimately is to challenge that ethic, to challenge that ease of calling the police, and to put some pressure on our internal organization to create opportunities for people to have their grievances heard and conflicts resolved. So for me, the amendment totally captures the spirit. I'm not trying to preclude investigation. I would love it. I do want to take the point of personal privilege and say, if you're going to put out on a broadcast that I had dinner with the chief of police, you surely better have some facts behind that. Oh, if I'm wrong, oh well.
Okay. You can take this out to the parking lot. Here is the proposed amendment. KPFA policy regarding calling the police. Title. Motion. We call upon staff and management to use alternatives to police, avoid calling police to settle disagreements between those working in the station, work with management and other staff to peacefully resolve conflicts. Management shall create clear procedures to assist staff in addressing interpersonal conflicts and provide a method for documenting behavior which violates personnel property and/or policies and/or degrades the workplace. Okay. Could we have a vote? I think we're going to unanimously pass this.
Just point of clarification.
Yes, I do. Oh, great. Okay. Andrea, Janet? Janet? No, she's on the list. And then Jose Luis, then Andrea, then Burton. Can we have a longer list? Okay.
I call the question.
All those in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. Opposed? Motion carries. All those in favor of the amended amendment, please raise your hands. All those opposed? Substitute motion. Why are we counting?
Okay, wait, hands down. So let's just make clear, make sure what we're voting on. So this is Joy's amendment.
Substitute.
It's a substitute motion. So this would replace Burton's amendment, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And Andrea's original motion. Okay. KPFA policy regarding. Oh, did you? Okay.
Yes, I read
okay.
it.
Okay. So,
and we're voting on it.
All.
Well, I think.
But
why?
I understand that it says provide a method for documenting behavior.
Okay, all in favor, raise your hands and hold them up. Noes.
You better get that copy back.
Are you voting no? Two no's. Abstentions. Okay. We're done with that one. Thank you.
Good job.
Okay. Okay, this is now the main motion. All in favor, please signify by...
Wait, I'm so sorry. I'm so confused. I thought we just voted on a substitute motion. So what are we voting on now?
We substituted that for the other motion. It became the substitute motion, so now we're going to vote on it. All in favor, please raise your hands. It's 16 to 2, by the way. Against?
Yeah, if you want to amend it. Yeah,
against?
Amend it right here.
Okay. Thank you. We are now to David Welsh's motion, which you will read, David.
It's on the back of the police thing. Look on the back.
There's a resolution on the sale of broadcast licenses. That the KPFA LSB strongly recommends that the Pacifica National Board explicitly adopt the following written policy, that under no circumstances will the broadcast licenses of the five stations that comprise the Pacifica Radio Network be put up for sale. And if I get a second, I'd like to speak on it.
I thought it almost failed for lack of a second.
Yeah.
Motivated.
Now, we are a local station board. We do not, as has been pointed out many times, we do not set policy for the station, or let alone for the Pacifica Network. There are people who are elected or appointed to make those decisions. However, we do have the power to express our opinions about things. And I think the spirit of this is that we should state clearly that we are opposed to the sale of the licenses of any of the stations of the Pacifica Network and that we want to keep the network together. And I think it's important for us to state this and for the other local station boards to also state this, because there have been a lot of rumors about and statements that have been made by people in the Pacifica community about the sale or lease of different station licenses, particularly on the East Coast. And I think it's just we need to make ourselves very clear that we are opposed to the sale of these licenses. We want to keep the Pacifica Network together. And as I say, this is a general statement of our intent, and we're saying that this should be the general statement of the intent of Pacifica Network as a whole. And it's not dealing with specific situations that may come up that the management of these of this network and the management of these stations are going to have to deal with. But I think we should be clear about our intent, and that's the purpose.
If the intent is not to dictate to the management of the network about unforeseen circumstances in the future, then what is your intent for the words "under no circumstances" in this resolution?
Well, my intent is that there are many, if there's a financial problem in the network, which there apparently is, there are many choices of what to do about it. For one choice would be to cut paid staff, you know, to reduce the paid staff. That would be one choice. In other words, if you have a choice between eliminating the license of one or more of the stations or maintaining the paid staff, then to me, I think the choice should be to eliminate the paid staff. So what I'm saying is that... What's already gone? Well, here's the thing. I think we should make clear that we are definitely opposed, and this is making a statement saying we are definitely opposed to the sale of licenses, and that anything else should be considered before the sale of the licenses of any one of the stations.
Under no circumstances.
Okay. This is a way of making very clear our intent, that this is the one thing that we do not want the network to do because of a financial crisis.
Okay, I have Margie, Janet, Barbara, Burton, Ramses, Craig, Mal.
Okay, so I want to make a substitute.
Mal.
I want to make a substitute motion, and then if I get a second, I want to motivate it, okay? So my substitute motion is the KPFA LSB recommends that the Pacifica National Board adopt financial and programming policies that will avoid the necessity of contemplating the sale of any of the assets of Pacifica. Thank you. Okay, so let me say two things. I couldn't vote for this precisely because it says under no circumstances. There's no comparison between selling a license and laying off every single person who works for Pacifica. First of all, the license is worth so much more than we pay the entire staff. It's not even reasonable. Okay. But the fact of the matter is that selling a license means we have to get FCC approval, we have to get a vote of the membership. It's not a simple thing to sell a license. Pacifica also owns property. We own buildings. We own other things. There are assets that could be leveraged short of selling a license. I just think it's not real to talk about to tie us into something that says that we won't, under any circumstances, ever sell a license, because we don't know what the future will hold, and it drives me crazy. Let me say, there is no one that I know of who is currently advocating the sale of a license. I work every day very hard with the people at WBAI to help them save their station, move their tower, cut costs. We spend lots of time working on that, and I am committed to doing that. We had an offer to buy one of the other radio stations, which was communicated to us by the FCC attorney, and it was at a time when I was chair of the board and Bernard Duncan was the acting IED, and we both said, no, we're not even thinking about selling a station. That's not what's going on here. We're trying to hold this network together. I think that there's a lot of, I'm trying to use a good word. There's a lot of nonsense. There's a lot of rumor mongering and nonsense about selling stations. No one's talking about selling licenses. First of all, because it's doesn't make sense, and second of all, because it's not it's not where we're at
30
this
seconds.
Point. Okay, so I'm done. So I made my substitute motion, and I actually have copies of it here. Pass that around that way. And I'll just read it again. The KPFA-LSB recommends that the Pacifica National Board adopt financial and programming policies that will avoid the necessity of contemplating the sale of any of the assets of Pacifica.
Janet.
Yeah, I too had problems with under no circumstances, and I like Margie's substitute motion, but I have a substitute for her substitute motion.
What is it?
Well, anyway, and let me read it, okay? Resolution that the KPFA-LSB strongly recommends that the Pacifica National Board explicitly adopt the following written policy, that all possible options for maintaining the financial viability of Pacifica be spelled out and prioritized, including that of liquidating any of Pacifica's assets, and that the selling of any broadcast licenses of Pacifica's five stations be taken as an absolute last resort.
Yeah. Okay. Is there a second? All right. So, you're going to motivate that?
Yeah. So,
and I'm reminding people we now have 28 minutes.
Right. Pacifica has been in a somewhat chaotic state, as we know, financially and in other ways. And so different proposals have been brought up, selling a station, leasing a station, selling real estate, or, you know, different kinds of things. There are different assets that Pacifica has. We don't have, I mean, and each time it's like this one thing pops, oh, we got to do this. And then it sort of goes nowhere. And then there's another time, oh, we got to do this. But we haven't looked at the whole picture of all, you know, everything that needs to be looked at to see and prioritize. And so what this substitute motion is saying, let's do that. Well, not the LSB, but the PNB. Let's do that. Take a look at it. And if we have to deal with any, liquidate any assets, selling the stations would come, or any of the stations would come, absolutely last as an option.
Okay. Point of information. Point of information. If you use the microphone.
Okay. So I just want to ask, through the chair, I want to ask Janet a question, which is one of the things that is currently on the PNB agenda but we haven't talked about yet is the issue of a signal swap. Do people know what that means? Yeah.
Oh,
it means that, for example, WBAI has a very powerful signal. It also has a signal which is potentially a commercial signal, which isn't true of the other stations. It's true of us too, but not the other stations, right? And so what that means is the signal is worth a great deal of money, but short of selling the signal, you can do this thing that's called a signal swap, where you give your signal to somebody else and take on their signal, which is usually not as strong or whatever. And, reduce costs, and there's money, exchange of money involved. And that would be one of the contemplated in your, as one of the options in your thing?
Sure.
You're not closing off any options.
No.
Okay, great.
We
Thank
don't
you.
Have all the options.
That's right. We don't even know
right.
what all the options
right.
are.
Okay,
I
exactly.
agree.
All right.
I
now,
agree.
Wait a second. I'm, okay.
Okay.
I think what's going on here is there's some language in here that really has to do with those of you who sit on the PNB, and what does this mean? And are you going to spend your time prioritizing, or are you taking a thing? I mean, the difference that I see between Margie's substitute and Janet's substitute is Janet's has a requirement that some of the work of the PNB board now become explicitly dealing with spelling out priorities and so on and so forth. And I'm sure there's a lot of things that are supposed to be done on the PNB, and I don't know if we want to send to the PNB what your work should be here and, what the significance of that is. Aside from that kind of priority, I think that what these are very similar. And in any case, we now have 25 minutes or 26 minutes or 24 minutes or 23 minutes. If I keep talking, we can
point
get
of
down
information.
To 22 minutes. David.
I have a question for Margie about the signal swap. So does a signal swap mean that this is a permanent swap or a temporary swap for 2 years?
It depends on wait a minute. This is not going to be the subject matter of this discussion, I don't think.
I just wanted to know.
Okay, you think we should have a discussion of?
Okay. Okay.
Okay, that's right. You've got to have the microphone.
Sorry, I'm really cranky.
Yeah, me too. You tried chairing this.
Okay, and I just want to say to David, it depends on what you negotiate. You can negotiate a permanent signal swap, which would probably be considered a sale, and would require FCC approval and a membership vote. I think
it's a simultaneous sale and purchase.
Yeah,
and
simultaneous
it would require a membership vote.
Right.
Okay.
Or you can do it on a temporary basis.
Yeah, we can talk about all
it's
kinds
all depends.
Of choices.
All I wanted to know was whether that was contemplated in Janet's, all the options, because it's something that people are talking about. I'm not at all sure that I'm in favor of such a thing, but it is being discussed.
I have a second part of my point of information to Margie. In your motion here, it says we'll avoid the necessity of contemplating the sale. Now,
of any of the assets.
Yeah, right. But now my question is about the term the necessity. In other words, implicit in that is that there could be a time when there is a necessity or somebody would determine that there's a necessity. So are you wedded to the term necessity? What if you said that we'll avoid contemplating the sale of any of the assets of Pacifica?
I like Janet's better.
Hers is too long, and also then you're gonna say, oh, we're supposed to prioritize according to mine.
My thing is telling the PNB to do some work too. I hope that was my idea.
Okay. Anyway. All right.
Can we have? I'm sorry. Can we have a reading on Janet's, so we're not spinning our wheels?
Resolution that the KPFA LSB strongly recommend that the Pacifica National Board explicitly adopt the following written policy. That all possible options for maintaining the financial viability of Pacifica be spelled out and prioritized, including that of liquidating any of Pacifica's assets, and that the selling of any of the broadcast licenses of Pacifica's 5 stations be taken as an absolute last resort. Brian, I want to know actually what the PNB people think, because we're giving them instructions and they're thinking about what it is to receive that in their meetings.
Unfortunately, I think the PNB could not care less about what it gets from local boards. But I think Janet's is the best point of departure. I would like to propose a slight change to it, but I believe we will have to substitute it to make it the main motion in order to have that conversation. So I'd ask that we move to a vote on this as the starting point.
All right. All right. Could we just move to bring Janet's as the substitute motion that we're discussing? All those in favor, please raise your hands. And Craig will count them. Noes. Abstentions.
Four.
Okay. All right. Now, do you have an amendment to the substitute?
Can I have a reading motion of the last sentence again?
That all possible options for maintaining the financial viability.
Sorry, I meant last clause. The selling of any of the broadcast licenses of Pacifica's five stations be taken as an absolute last resort.
Yes.
Dead air.
Okay. I would propose substituting that it work to avoid proposing the sale of any of the broadcast, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Where to say it again?
Okay, so the clause. The selling of any of the broadcast licenses of Pacifica's five stations be taken as an absolute last resort would be changed to it, being the PNB, work to avoid proposing the sale of any of the broadcast licenses. And I'll motivate it. And I'll explain what I'm trying to do. If someone can come up with better language, be my guest.
How does Janet feel about it, by the way?
Maybe I could explain what I'm trying to accomplish first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay. I can come up with things that are worse than selling one of our licenses. I don't want to sell any of our licenses, but I get concerned by absolutist language. So a broadcast swap would be a sale of a license. If our New York station, which is $5 million behind on its bills, we're able to get a non-commercial frequency in New York and $20 million in the process, stabilize its finances, endow the station so it didn't have to be fundraising every other day of the year. I think that's much preferable to what would happen if there was no change, which is the bank accounts of the other stations would continue to be raided to pay WBAI's expenses. Eventually, our buildings will be mortgaged, and then we'll be homeless and have licenses and no facilities we can use to take advantage of them. I mean, a license without the infrastructure of a station that can produce programming worth listening to is not very useful. Mm-hmm. So I think Janet's absolutely right that what we need to do is this planning. We need to spell out what are contingencies, what are competing directions we could go in to stabilize the finances, and I think we all share the sentiment that what we want to do is keep our five stations on the air.
Okay.
What I don't want is absolutist language that says before we even examine what those alternatives are, one of them is at the bottom of the list. Because frankly, on the heading that we're in now, a bankruptcy judge
you
is
bet.
Going to sell a license out from under us, and our voters are not going to get to say boo. When we have three vendors going to court to collect money we owe them, the next step around the quarter is a vendor saying, I want the court to take control of Pacifica's assets because I'm worried they're going to spend them before they can pay our bills.
Can I go to Janet first?
No.
Go ahead.
Well, I kind of agree with you, and that would have to be factored into the priorities and, you know, all the contingencies, bankruptcy,
would be after selling one of the stations. I mean,
bankruptcy can be non-voluntary.
Right, but I'm just saying that my initial language saying that considering selling any of the stations as an absolute last resort, maybe adding on to that, barring bankruptcy or something. I mean,
okay. Either we work this out or we're going to vote, because we've now got 14 minutes. And so Andrea, Joy, we'll just start talking and then we'll take some votes. I thought we could just kind of work it out. But yeah. Andrea.
Well, I want to say I appreciate Dave and Janet and Margie for the resolutions, because I have felt that this conversation is going on in the community, but we haven't really been having it here. And so I'm glad to connect with our PNB reps and for you guys to carry at least the memory of our opinions, if not our opinions, to the next meeting. But I think what's happening fundamentally is that part of that conversation that's happening is around, you know, what would it take to avoid, you know, is it possible to stabilize the network without doing that? And it's that question around personnel. Because what we've been hearing over these years, of course, is that, you know, personnel is the number one expense of the network. The number one variable expense. That there is power to tweak. It's not fixed like a rent or a transmitter cost. And so the question is, what is a last resort? And is a last resort meaning that would we consider, before selling or swapping, would we consider dramatic cuts in personnel across the network as a way to avoid putting us into signal swap situation, putting us into that kind of dramatic situation? And I guess I'd be interested to hear from folks what they think about that, because I know that people have different paradigms about what the state, what the network is, what it's meant to be. Is it a national, you know, news hub that's trying to be national and international, or is it something that's meant to be more grassroots and community-based and, in that sense, able to run... You know, if in the most dramatic situation, would you only have a general manager at each station and a business manager, and then only have volunteer programmers? I know folks don't like to hear that, but I'm curious, would you rather see that scenario or would you rather see signal swap? Thank you.
All right. Joy is next, and I think what Andrea just raised is a much longer conversation than 12 minutes before the thing, because it is at the nub of the differences among us, I believe. And, I mean, it can be scheduled if we wish in some other format, but I don't think we're going to get that here. I think we're focused on this set of things. Joy.
So I've just been listening to everyone, and... First of all, I want to thank David. I understand his sentiment and what he's trying to do. It goes along with the mission of KPFA, I think, or Pacifica, to provide this network and platform and the place for peace and justice to take place. However, I think we spent a lot of time on something that really, in the end, is not going to make any difference. We can recommend to the PNB whatever we want, and they can still do whatever they want. So I like the idea of making a statement for the public. As Andrea pointed out, they're worried about it, that how we stand on it. And we don't have to be quite so serious about the wording, because in the end, we have elected our representatives to represent our interests on the PNB. And if this issue should come up, hopefully they will vote that way. But ultimately, what power do we have? We've already designated the people on the Pacific National Board, all of the stations, who will ultimately decide this decision. So I'm not saying we shouldn't have a stance or take a stance, but I just don't want us to spend all this time spinning our wheels about making a statement that ultimately we really don't have any control over, other than through our representatives. So I would like to see this discussion either extended or postponed to the next one and not spend a lot of more time on it. But think about what we're actually asking to be done with either this or the substitute motion, because we have no way of knowing what's going to happen. I mean, we can't sit here and come up with every constituent or every possible situation and say that, you know, this should happen or that should happen. That's not our role anyway as the LSB. But I do agree somehow we should come up with simple language that says that we will, in the last resort, only sell the station. And that's actually what's going to happen anyway, to be honest.
That's right.
Craig.
She's right.
Well, I think this has been bumped over from meeting to meeting, and Dave has been waiting patiently for a decision. So I want to call a question on this.
We're calling the question on Brian's
amendment
to the amendment. So what can we read what Brian's amendment to the amendment is?
No, Janet's motion is now the main
motion. The main motion. Janet's motion is the main motion, and we have had an amendment to the main motion, and we are now having a vote on the on whether or not the amended motion will be the main motion. Do you agree,
yes.
Madam Ex-Chair?
I agree.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Can we have a reading of the amended motion?
Okay, so this is the main motion as it stands now.
I want you to read the amendment. We'll
get to that. Okay. Just let me do this.
I want you to read what we're going to vote on, which is the amended motion.
People deserve to have the context, okay?
Thank you.
Resolution that the KPFA LSB strongly recommends that the Pacifica National Board explicitly adopt the following written policy: that all possible options for maintaining the financial viability of Pacifica be spelled out and prioritized, including that of liquidating any of Pacifica's assets, and that the selling of any of the broadcast licenses of Pacifica's five stations be taken as an absolute last resort. Okay, that's the main motion. The amendment would say, instead, that all possible options for maintaining the financial viability of Pacifica be spelled out and prioritized, including that of liquidating any of Pacifica's assets, and that the PNB work to avoid proposing the sale of any of the broadcast licenses Pacifica owns. So the difference is that last clause.
All right, got it.
Okay. All in favor of substituting the amended language to be the main motion. Please raise your hands. Opposed. Abstaining. Four. Okay. So this is now the main motion. Now we're going to vote on whether or not we endorse this, and we will read it again, I believe. I think you have to read it.
Okay, so this is now the main motion as it stands. Resolution that the KPFA LSB strongly recommends that the Pacifica National Board explicitly adopt the following written policy: that all possible options for maintaining the financial viability of Pacifica be spelled out and prioritized, including that of liquidating any of Pacifica's assets, and that the PNB work to avoid proposing the sale of any of the broadcast licenses Pacifica owns.
All in favor, please raise your hands. Opposed? Abstentions?
Point of information?
Yes.
On both our two motions that we passed, who gets to relate this? Who gets to tell the PNB what we decided? And who gets to tell the manager what we decided on the police policy? Whose responsibility is that to communicate that?
Secretary. Is that yours?
Yes.
The secretary will do that.
I have a point of procedure.
And the bylaws. Yes.
I think we were supposed to do a roll call vote on the bylaw.
We did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Paula needs a microphone. I mean, I think we should talk for another 5 minutes. Go ahead.
The reason I abstained was because when Andrea brought up the possibility of laying off staff, and that was never resolved, and Margie had said that the amount of money going to staff is minimal compared to these assets, so I was concerned that when it said all possible options would be explored, I didn't know if that included the options of laying off staff. That's why I abstained.
Brian.
If we have 5 minutes, I want to say something about that, because I think it's easy and not at all useful to say, well, we'd have a lot more money if we just laid off all our staff. Our staff raise the money we bring in. You know, during our fund drives at KPFA, 70% of the money that comes in is raised by shows that have paid programmers working on it. It takes paid staff to run the member database, to send out the bills, to fulfill the premiums, to do the bookkeeping, the regulatory compliance, and so on and so forth. And KPFA, you have to understand this, KPFA is like propping up the rest of the network right now. We send Pacifica $500,000 a year, about $150,000 extra over that's in advance, and it goes to paying the payroll at WBAI, which is in a tailspin. Part of the reason it's in a tailspin is because they don't have the staff to operate successfully. If a commercial operator came in there, if a bankruptcy judge auctioned off that license and Clear Channel snapped it up, they would throw 30 staff at that station to get it working in a profitable manner. And that's how the most cutthroat corporate conglomerate would operate in a market the size of New York to be competitive. We don't have the upfront money to put into pulling that station out of its tailspin, so we have to look at other things. But, you know, from my point of view, KPFA, which is the station that is in the third largest city of the stations we own and is the most financially stable and contributes the most money to the rest of the network's functioning, is the best model we have, and it also happens to be the most heavily staffed station. You can't just get rid of the staff and expect the money's going to keep coming in.
I want to say two things. And I can hand Ramses the mic if he wants to be the chair for these last 3 minutes. One is I'm a union person, and sometimes I'm horrified at the attitude about eliminating people's jobs, aside from the fact that I agree with what Brian said about, you know, needing people and the staff, and that I don't think that volunteers replace jobs, and that I mean, one of the groups that you get when you get volunteers is old rich people, you know. But in any case, I'm a union person, and eliminating jobs just really infuriates me. That's one thing. And I'm so angry I can't remember the other thing. Janet.
Yeah, couple of things. One, all right, I'll start with the union thing. I'm a union member myself. I support unions. I do sometimes have difficulty, is this better? with the, being on the PNB, I have fiduciary responsibility to Pacifica. And so that, there laying off staff may be something that would have to happen. And so whether somebody has to choose between union identification versus Pacifica, because I'm a PNB member, I have to, my responsibility is to Pacifica. Anyway, so those are things that I think about. I also want to just add that the staff is part of the operations. It's not really an asset. I mean, what we are talking about, what this motion was talking about, was assets and liabilities. So ongoing operations is a different story than the assets and liabilities. But, you know, there might be some kind of little relationship at times, but it is sort of a different issue.
It's 4:00. We're adjourned.